I'm just gonna introduce my wife real quick. Her name is Amy Maury, and she's gonna give a few minutes of her testimony.
Dale's like, are you sure you wanna do this? And I'm like, I'll do it. I get nervous when I stand up in front of people, even my own church, but I was brought up Catholic and always went to church. Had to go either, it was either Saturday night or Sunday, did the whole CCD classes, knew about Jesus, knew about God, what he did. And it was just a ritual to me. It was just a religion. grew up in a good family, you know, middle, upper class family, got everything I ever wanted. My parents loved us and, you know, would show us, you know, love, hugs, kisses, everything. But unfortunately, they wanted to be more of a friend to me and my sister. So a lot of times they just let us do what we wanted to. Unfortunately, at the age of 14, I did some things that I shouldn't have done with the opposite sex. I don't want to go into too deep with, you know, some young children here, but it basically ruined my life because I always thought that for me to be happy, I always had to have a man in my life. So I would go from boyfriend to boyfriend to boyfriend, and it led to destruction. My parents let me have boys sleep over, go on trips, and I really wish, looking back, that they would have said no, and I think my life would have changed.
Amen.
I always, you know, was interested in religions, you know, whether it was Methodist or Catholic or I've heard all these different types of religions, but really never stuck with anything. As I got older, got to college, lived a pretty promiscuous life. You know, I could look it on the outside, but inside I was a very wicked person. Very sneaky and things like that. Had good jobs, was in the banking field for many, many years. And I was married previously. Really thought that I was settling down, and unfortunately he just picked up and left. So here I am, by myself, down and out. And a girlfriend at the time said, you know, why don't you come to my church? It was a Wesleyan church. And it was the type of church where you have the big screen and you have the band and you have the drums going, and it's all this, that music a lot of times just gets into your heart, and you have that whole emotion. And being an emotional person, I just loved it. And he did talk about, you know, a sinner and everything, and I'm like, oh, I got saved. And things started to change. I stopped going to the clubs. I stopped doing the drinking and living that type of life. And I really thought I was saved. And, you know, I would go to this church. And then one day I met Dale. And Dale, and he'll give his testimony, but we come from two different worlds. He comes from the streets. And, you know, I came from, you know, middle upper class. But for whatever reason, you know, we just clicked. And I found out he was a Christian and he loved the Bible. And so I was just so attracted to that because I wanted that so bad. And so when I met him, we wanted to serve the Lord. We were in a Baptist church. He used to preach at the City Mission. I would sing. We just really thought, you know, we were saved. And then one thing led to another, and we moved to Black Creek, out in that area, and couldn't find a church. And we started going backwards. We started drinking again, started using marijuana again. It just went downhill. And inside of me, I'm like, would a saved person be doing this? And I'm like, I have to. I called upon the name of the Lord. You know, that's what the Bible says. And then it just led to some really, really bad situations. And then our pastor, Pastor John Asquith, his daughter went to a college that my mom worked at. And she begged her to please tell her dad, will you go and see my daughter and my son-in-law? And he did. And so we went to church. Oh, actually, I went to church for a few months, and Dale would pick on me, saying I was a holy roller and everything like that. But I kept going because this preacher would preach the word that I've never, ever heard before. And I was under his preaching for a good 3 years when I finally realized that I wasn't saved. I could put on the nice dress and the happy smile and hold my Bible and play the part, but I knew deep inside there just wasn't that witness. And it was scary because the Lord was starting to show me things that I did not want to see about myself and that deep part of my heart that I've closed off for so many years. And it was one night that, one day I came back from a baby shower and I was very miserable that day. And Dale just told me, go into that bedroom and you get with the Lord and don't come out until you do. And I did. And it was just such an amazing thing. I didn't have to be at an altar. I didn't have to have somebody praying over me or telling me what to say. I just met with the Lord, and I just talked to him, and he just showed me. You know, my biggest thing, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I did all this bad stuff, but why did he have to die for me? You know, and he just showed me why, because I was born this way. There was nothing that I could do, and it was through his love that that he wanted to do that for me and for everybody. And so I, right there in my bed, on my knees, I got saved, and things have never been the same. And it keeps changing, and I haven't gone backwards, and it's been... it'll be almost four years. So I love serving the Lord. I love traveling and meeting different people. But that's where the Lord's leading us. So
amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Give the Lord a big hand.
I didn't cry this time.
Amen. Oh, God, he's good. I just want to let you know. I stand here today, an imperfect man saved by a perfect God. Sometimes I get a little irate. Just the greatness and the goodness that the Lord has, what he's done for me and my wife. Matter of fact, I approached her at the bathroom door on the way here, and I said, "Do you know why we're going to Rochester?" And she looked at me, "Well, Brother Scott asked us to come." I said, "No, because God's grace. Because God's grace, because he saved us. Because he saved us." Now people want to hear a testimony of what Jesus Christ can do.
Amen.
And I thank God. I thank God that he finally reached into my heart. October will make 4 years that I got saved. And I really thank God. I praise his name for what he's done. But I'm going to do a little something different here. I'm going to give my testimony. At the same time, I'm going to give the word of God in Genesis 17. And I just want to, if you will turn there with me, Genesis 17. And... we're going to go to verse 5. Genesis 17:5. You know, there's nothing like sharing the word. The word is, I mean, it's life-changing. God is so good to us to even give us the word. I thank him for it. We had a meeting all last week. We call it Team Week. She came and visited and such. And, you know, the Lord just met with me out of 2 Kings 22, where Josiah is 8 years old. And, scribe brings a book up to him, and Josiah says, "Read it." And when he started reading it, the king said, "Oh my goodness, the Lord is angry with us. We must go down and tear these idols down. We must go tear these altars down. We must go slay these priests. We got to get rid of these things that we're building up in our heart." And then he went out there. That's what he did. An 8-year-old king said, "Go out there, we got to tear these things down." And the Lord said, "Dale, you have things in your heart you need to tear down." And it really just hit me. I said, "Oh my goodness, thank you, Lord, for revealing that to me. Thank you for spending some time with me. I appreciate when the Lord shows me things." Anyway, Genesis 17:5 says, "Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee." This is talking about Abram getting his new name, Abraham. That new name came from God. Abraham got a hold of God, and God gave him a new name. When God gets a hold of us, the spelling of our name might not change, but who we are behind that name changes. When Dale Morey got saved in October of 2011, I still spelled my name D-A-L-E. But no longer who that stood for was there anymore. I have a new man. I got washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and now that name, people weren't afraid of that name. People weren't afraid of what I stood for. And when I get into my testimony, I'll share a little bit with you. And so reading the Bible is very important to have a good name. It meant something. It told people who you were. It showed what kind of power you had, what honor and trust and loyalty, who you were associated with. That stood for the good as well as the bad. Today, a good name means nothing to people. People actually brag on how bad their name really is. It's almost an honor to have such a bad name. But as in the Bible, people still associate your name with how you act. Live your life and what you stand for. Job. If you go to Job 1:1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Here we see a name that was described as the perfect man, who feared God, who eschewed evil. This was all associated with Job's name. You see, that name, people could tell when they heard the name Job, they knew what he stood for. Today, when you hear the name Job, you know what he went through. You see the faith. You see what he went through. So that name, name Job attached much faith, many things that God did for him. And so your name carries a lot with you. You can ask my wife, then I'm going to get into my testimony a little bit here. We travel around quite a bit. And, we go to different places, different states. And there'll be places that I go to still to this day that when they hear that Dale Morey's in town, the cops go on high alert. That's a fact. That's a fact. Because they heard my name. They don't understand. Until October of last year, I was able to preach my own father's funeral. I preached my own dad's funeral. And because of that, they heard that I was a preacher, their jaw just about hit the floor. They were just like, Dale Morey's a preacher now. I said, Jesus Christ can do that for anybody sitting in this room. Jesus Christ can do that before you hit the grave. Jesus Christ, listen, it's not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's his will. His will wasn't for Dale Morey, no matter what I went through. His will wasn't for me to perish in the flames of hell. Jesus Christ loved me. But here's where people get stuck. They see Jesus Christ as a mere man. I know the things that I went through. If I stood there and I looked at Jesus Christ as a mere man, I would have never got saved. I had to realize that he's God. Amen. Because when people look at Jesus as a mere man, they go, there's another one going to hurt me. There's another one going to hurt me. There's another one that's my enemy. You see, they need to see Jesus Christ for who he really is, and he is God. And that's what did it for me. I had to see past Jesus Christ being that man and seeing that he was really God, seeing that he was truly the one who died for me. Die for me? What? Never heard of such a thing. I've seen a lot of my boys go down. I've seen a lot of people go down in my old lifestyle. But let me just say this. Who we are is explained by our name. When people heard of the old Dale Morey, flags went up. Warning, warning, this guy is trouble. In three different states and many counties and towns, fear, destruction, destroyed lives, trouble, violence, and gangs was associated with my name. I was the man of Mark 5, 1 through 15. And I was going to, you guys know the guy who's in the Gardenes, the crazy man with legions, the crazy man cutting himself shackled all the time, sitting there screaming up in the tombs, nobody dare go near him. And that was me. That's who I was. And let me just read a little bit of this. It says, always, night and day, he was in mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And so he was up there crazy, and nobody wanted to be around. They were afraid of this guy. They were afraid of who he was. And nobody wanted to be around him. And that's kind of where I came from. Amy told you that we came from two opposite sides. I came from the streets, the west side of Buffalo. I grew up around a lot of Spanish people. I grew up in their homes. Everything I did. I'm a white guy, but I grew up half Spanish. Matter of fact, when I was in prison, I was in the Spanish gang. It was a pretty big gang. And in the drugs, selling drugs, doing drugs, fighting. I mean, that was on a daily basis. These are the things that I've done on a daily basis. Robberies. I got a 17-page rap sheet. I think I got one misdemeanor on 17 pages. My last bid was 5 years in prison in New York State for armed robbery. That was my last bid. And so I got in there, but I've been in three different states. I mean, jails and prisons, many, many different states, rehabs, mental hospitals, you name it, been there and done it. And all this stuff, this whole time, I just had this big black hole. And everything that I tried to stick in there would just blow out the other side. I could never fill it with the drugs and the women and the things with my boys and all. I mean, none of that stuff. It just wouldn't fill that hole. I mean, just searching. Raised up as a little kid, some bad things happened to me. I had men take advantage of me when I was a child. It went on for years. And through all this and my mother's abusive boyfriends and all this stuff that went on, we used to have to kneel on rice, raw rice, for hours in the corner. I mean, hours and hours. As a punishment, he would beat us with the inside of an inner tube of a tire. That was some of our punishments that we went through. And all that did, it bred bitterness and hate in me. And then when I got up to the streets of Buffalo, I got turned loose by my own family. You know, they told me, I got, you know, I'm a little guy from Florida, been through all this stuff. I had all this anger inside of me. A kid steals my bike. My aunt tells me, you know what? It's time to leave your mom alone. Go out there and defend yourself. And I did. And when I did, I let loose on that kid so much that it took three people to get me off of him. And I never stopped. I led a trail of destruction that whole time. I mean, my whole life. Next, within 2 years, I was in Father Baker's. For 2 years, I was in Father Baker's boys' home. And I had to try to defend myself there because I'm telling you, it was some nasty things that go on in those places. And I'll just keep it clean. I'll just keep it right there. And then from then on, then I would move back and forth to Florida, to Vermont, to Buffalo, Florida, to why? Because I was on the run all the time. I had a warrant here, so I'd run there, and I had a warrant there. I had, you know, here I'm in a rehab here. I'm running back there because I gave dirty urines and so on and so forth. All this stuff kept going. And at the same time, I'm trying to take all this hurt. And what do I do with it? Nobody's ever taught me. I had no clue what to do with the stuff that I had inside of me. So I'll go out there in the streets, and I'll just take it out on everything and everybody. My mother, you know, she tried, seeing her face, you know, I'm sitting in prison and seeing her face, the love that she had for me, you have to know the whole story. It was a twisted love. Up until 4 years ago, I hated my mother's guts. I'm just telling you the truth. Because she was very abusive. I got saved, I love my mother. I take care of her on a daily basis. Because God, the Lord Jesus Christ, stepped into my heart and made me a new man. But this is just the stuff. Some of the stuff the Lord has done for me. While I was in prison, my last 5 years, I was in Gowanus Correction Facility. It's an old mental hospital. At this time, I started reading a Bible. Somebody came up to me and gave me a King James Bible. Never had religion in my life, ever. He started reading it to me. Something started to happen inside of me. Something happened to me to the point where I went up and I said, hey, I was talking to one of my brothers that was in the gang. I said, I can't do this gang thing anymore. I need to get out. There's certain ways out. I was told three ways. You know, cut, you get cut, you get packed up, you get stabbed up, you get killed. Okay, that was three ways out. So now we're going to have a monthly meeting. Well, the president comes down. We have meetings. We take care of business right there in the yard. And so it comes. They come up, and all my brothers come up with me, and I said, you know, I don't want to be in this thing anymore. I want to get out of here. I said, I want to start going to church. I don't want to be involved in this thing. Because at this point in time, I had moved up through the ranks. I went from security to being a first pretty quickly, which means I was the first on my floor. I gave the shots. I took the taxes, all that kind of stuff. It all came through me on my floor. And so at this time, I just told him, I said, listen, I can't have this anymore. Because I started reading this Bible. It just started making me think differently. I had a new desire in my heart come in. So he asked me, you know how to get out? I said, I know how to get out. So they surround him. I'm ready for it. I know what's coming. I'm ready for it. He steps up to me. He said, there is another way out. I said, what is it? He said, religion. He said, religion. I went out to that yard to get it, man. I went out there to get what they were going to give me because I really wanted out. He said, you get out of religion, what we're going to do is we're going to watch you. We're going to put eyes on you for 2 years. You mess up one time, he says, you're ours, you're going to get the punishment. It's coming back to you. I said, all right. So for 2 years, that's what I did, for 2 years. Matter of fact, I went and learned Spanish so I could read them a Spanish Bible. They still had me pray over the meetings and so on and so forth, but the Lord delivered me. He delivered me from that. I've never been bothered since. I don't hide my names out there on the internet. I'm not worried about anybody. I'm not worried about old enemies, nothing. I've been out of prison now 13 years this year. It's been 13 years I've been out of prison. Since I got saved, I haven't been back to prison. Since I got saved, I haven't touched a drink. Since I got saved, I haven't touched a drug. 8 years ago, I was taking 19 psychotropic pills a day. A day. A day. Today, I take zero.
Amen.
Zero. The Lord delivered me from that. I'm not picking on anybody. If anybody takes medicine, that's between you and your doctor. I'm just telling you a little bit about what the Lord has done for me and why I'm so grateful and why I'm so thankful that He's given a new name now to where people don't shut the doors on me anymore. They welcome me in. To where I have family who give me phone numbers and, you know, they want me to pray. I wasn't at a family gathering in decades.
I didn't know where my mother lived. I didn't know where my aunts and uncles lived. Hey, how many do I know now? How many do they welcome me to their house? They always want me at their house. Because the Lord came in and changed somebody like me. I'm covered in tattoos. You can't see it. I stay pretty well covered. But I got, what, 70 plus tattoos on me? But you know what? When the Lord saved me, he didn't take them from me. He wanted to use them as a witness from where I came from.
I don't know how many you can see.
It says the word hope on my knuckles. About 4.5 years ago, what did that used to say, Amy? It said hate. It said hate. I got saved now, so I don't carry that hate anymore. I don't carry hate in my heart anymore. And I got rid of it. I changed it to hope. Because there's hope for any person.
Amen.
There's hope. Listen, if Jesus Christ can reach down and love somebody like me, and reach down and take a person like me, there's not a person he won't do it for. You see, the thing is me wanting to believe him, me wanting to see what he really wanted to do for me, understanding, you got to understand where I come from. Love. I didn't have love of a family. My brothers were my love. Okay, that's where my love came from. But then this man, Jesus Christ, I would see him, people would tell me about him, and I'd have a hard time accepting this man loves me. Until Pastor John started preaching Jesus Christ to me. He said he was a pastor that I needed because there was many times my pastor would say stuff to me and I'd wheel back and I'd want to hit him. And she'd go, oh my goodness, he's going to punch him. But he, you know what he did? He would tell me things that I needed to hear. And he would say, Dale, you hitting me is not going to change my love for you. I seen something in that man. I seen Jesus Christ in him, and I just remember going out, yelling out one day. I said, I want what you have. I want Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to stop until I get it. And I'm not going to stop until I get that. I want Jesus Christ. I want to believe on him. I want to love him. I want to serve him. That's what I want. That's my desire. I got it. October 10th, 2011, 90 and a half East Main Street, on my couch, praying. I called my pastor over. I was tore up. He got on his face, Pastor Willis Schenkel got on his face, and they sat there and they prayed while I prayed by myself, and I got saved. And I haven't looked back since.
Amen.
I haven't looked back since, and I don't want to look back. And now, and you know, I'm not bragging on myself, but the Lord gave me a wife and two beautiful children. He's given me a responsibility with them. He's given me a responsibility to lead my family the way Jesus Christ would have me to lead my family. He's given me love for them second to none. He's given me the opportunity to be a dad to two children, two beautiful children he's blessed me with. And he's given me that opportunity. Somebody who never deserved. I didn't deserve this opportunity. I don't think that I'm fit even to say, you ask him. When people ask me, I'm like, oh man, I don't know, you know, you really want me to come speak at the church? You know, I'm kind of worried, because I don't deserve to do this. But only by the grace of God I am who I am today. And I thank God for what he's done. And I thank God for, I teach teens at Sunday school. I preach the 1 o'clock service at our church. And you wouldn't believe, but the Lord has given me a little bit of people that I can go out there in the community and I work hard with them. And I love them, and they know. They can call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm gone. Hey, I was out there at 3 o'clock in the morning slinging drugs. I can go out there and help somebody.
Amen.
Because you know what, brother? If for 1 minute, at one point in time that I was having a hard time in my life before salvation, if I could have called somebody and said, please help me. Please come talk to me. Will you please? If I would have had that, just maybe. Just maybe I wouldn't have went through what I did go through. But you know what? I could be that for somebody. You know why? Romans 15:13 talks about the God of hope. I have the God of hope. He is why I breathe today. He is why I live today. He is why I do what I do today. And you know what? I want to go out there and tell everybody about that hope. And may my fire never burn. May it never go out. May it never become an ember. Oh, Lord, I don't even want to be here anymore. Because I'm telling you now, I'm in love with Jesus Christ. I'm in love with his word. And I'm in love with what he's done in my life. Because you know what? For the first time in my life, I have a clear conscience.
Amen.
For the first time in my life, that black hole has been filled. That void is over. It's over with. For the first time in my life, I can go to sleep at night and not worried about somebody coming in after me. I'm not worried about it. For the For the first time in my life, I'm drug-free, alcohol-free. For the first time in my life, maybe some of you understand this, maybe you won't. The very first night that I got saved, I realized for the first time in my life that I was getting angry. I could stop myself from getting mad. I could stop myself from becoming violent. For the first time in my life, I was able to say, I'm getting mad. Oh my gosh, I'm getting mad. I can stop myself from getting mad. I know that may sound funny to some of you, but if you'd ever had control over yourself, I'm telling you right now, when I realized that I had control over that for the first time in my life and I seen that, I about did a backflip. I told her if I could do a backflip, I would. I was so happy that I realized that I could control myself. I was excited.
Amen.
Excited. And I thank God. You know, because of my past life, I've had 3 neck surgeries. I got all kinds of plates in my neck, all kinds of plates in my back. You know what? But I still go out there. I work. I still go out there and do what I have to do. I still go out there and I take care of my family. I never had a work ethic. I had a man at, what's the name of the church? Hamburg, tent meeting. He got out there preaching on how men should work. That lit me up, brother. I'm telling you what, I'm going to work. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do what I can. And you know, I do what I can. I work 10 hours a week, but that's what my body can handle. Believe me when I tell you, I'm tore up. We were just at the doctor's today. We're trying to get what they call a pain stimulator inserted in my body just to, you know, be able to get me back to doing maybe some more work. Maybe I can work 20 hours a week. But that's all because of my sin. That's all because of the life that I chose to live. When I became 18 years old, I became a man. And when I became a man, it was my choice. I had the choice to do what I wanted to do, and I chose to go out there and leave a path of destruction. And now if I can stop some young man or some young woman before they make that, before they go out there and think that's the only thing that they have, it's not the only thing you have.
Amen.
I'm telling you that right now, and I'm just telling you, if you read Mark 5, verse 15, they all came after with Jesus Christ. You know, he healed that guy. He was sitting there. Okay, you just read the beginning of that story. He's running around cutting himself and everything else. Now at this time, because he found Jesus Christ, he's sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. That's what it says. They were afraid. Today people look at me and go, there's no way. I'm telling you, don't be afraid of what Jesus Christ is doing for me. Because he can do it for anybody. He wants to do it for everybody. Don't let these clothes fool you. Because it has nothing to do with this. What, you know what's inside? She talked about thinking she was saved. You know what that is? Jesus Christ says, you know what? You look good on the outside, but your insides are full of dead men's bones. That's what we had in us. We were full of dead men's bones. We look good on the outside. When I met her, you couldn't put a collared shirt on me. Not even to my uncle's funeral. I wouldn't wear a collared shirt. I dress this way now because I belong to the Lord. I think it pleases him that I'm this way. Why? Because I want to make myself separate from what I used to be. That's why I dress. Now the outside of what I look like today is the reflection of what will happen inside of my heart. This dress doesn't save me. Dressing this way doesn't make me go to heaven. But it's just a reflection of what Jesus Christ did for me. Anybody, I don't pick on anybody's dress. You dress the way the Lord sees fit for you. I'm just telling you why he does it for me. God has a sense of humor to take an old gangbanger and put him in a suit. Missed that one.
In a box.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just a little of my testimony, you know, what the Lord's done and what he's still doing in my life. He's not finished with me yet. But I can guarantee you this, there's a new name written in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine.
Come on.
I'll be sitting in heaven one day, and my brothers and my sisters are going to go up there, and they're going to see me, and I'll be sitting next to you. But here's the good thing. My body will be healed. I won't have the belly anymore. I'll be all good. And you know, I'm really looking forward to it, because I'm a Baptist. I'm looking forward to going up there and eating and not putting on any weight. No, I'm just kidding. But I thank God for what he's done. And I just ask that you, there's prayer cards. I just ask that you would keep me and my family in prayer. The Lord is starting to use us. He's starting to put us out there. But here's the one thing. Just pray that I would never get in the way of God. Because if I ever get in his way, I pray that he would take me out. Because I can't do anything without Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me just tell you this now. If you start seeing what I've done, then you've seen the wrong thing. You need to see what Jesus Christ done for this guy. This is what he's done for me. I didn't do this for me. I couldn't do it for me. A psychiatrist told me, Mr. Morey, there's nothing else I can do for you. But hey, I got news. Jesus Christ stepped in and he did it for me. Jesus Christ stepped in and he's the one who changed this man. Jesus Christ stepped in and he washed those sins from me. Jesus Christ cleansed that conscience of mine. It didn't eat me up anymore. I didn't have to go to bed at night wondering if I wanted to kill myself or what was going to happen to me the next day. I can put my arms around my beautiful wife and I can sleep, knowing that if I pass, I'm going to eternity. I'm going to stand at the feet of Jesus Christ, an old, nasty sinner like me, a rebel. I'm going to kiss my Savior's feet.
Amen.
You couldn't get me to bow down to a man. But you better believe I'll fall on my face for Jesus Christ. You better believe that. And I thank God for him changing my heart. You see that? I had a stony heart. And he broke up that fallow ground, brother. He broke it up and gave me a heart of flesh where I can love. You know what I told her? I said, for the first time in my life, I understand what love is. For the first time, Jesus Christ brought somebody in my life that I understood what human love was. My friends, my boys and all that, they want love. Jesus Christ gave me her, and she taught me love. Am I lying? Did you teach me love? She taught me love. She taught me what it meant to give up yourself for somebody when you love them. That's what she taught me. And now I don't have a problem doing it for her and my kids. I don't have a problem putting my body out there for them. I don't have a problem going and putting them first. The decisions I make in my life now are not for me. The decisions I make in my life now are for my family. When I have Jesus Christ in the right spot, when I have him first in my life, my family reaps the benefits. Let me just say that. When I have Jesus Christ up first, they get the benefits of what he's doing in my life. And I thank God. So just continue to pray for us. And I think I'm done, brother.